Welcome, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and oh boy, we've got some major paradigm shifting going on in our rapport with nature and with healing and with the evolution of our species. And there's some great purveyors of that. We've got a wonderful doctor in our midst who's a specialist in, or now as he's ripening or maturing into brilliance, a specialist into I want to call it cannabinoids and the endocannabinous system. I'm saying it wrong, but we'll get that sorted out. But if you will welcome to the show, Dr. Philip Blair. Welcome, Dr. Blair.
Thank you so much, Veronica, for having me on and having me give a chance to explain my views about the endocannabinoid system and endocannabinoid modulation, which is the key factor in the health benefits that I offer.
Oh, great. And modulation meaning being able to change our health circumstances or?
Yes. You know, what we have is this endocannabinoid system, which is the 12th body system. And the 12th body system actually permeates all of the other systems within the body. And we've not been recognized for the last 25 years, prior to 25 years ago.
But wait, you're calling it 12th. That must mean in sequence with other bodies. What are the other bodies? So just to give us a little thumbnail.
Well, there's the neurologic system. There's an endocrine. There's a gastrointestinal.
Okay.
There's these other immunologic system. So there's all these other systems that go on with in the body.
Even psychological, too, huh?
Yes. Yeah, neurologic. That mm-hmm. encompasses the behavioral aspects.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we found is the endocannabinoid system integrates and it permeates all of these other systems. And it acts as a master controller of these other systems. And when the endocannabinoid system gets out of balance, then we get disease, we get conditions, and we get failings of our body. And so by modulating, and what I mean by modulating is that we're going to influence it one way or the other. We're going to either upregulate the endocannabinoid system for improvements, or we're going to downregulate different portions of the endocannabinoid system by specific receptors and by specific agonists and inhibitors in different ways to change the effects of the system on the body and these different other systems that we have.
Mm-hmm. Actually, when I was doing some fast reading as well as listening to YouTubes and so on, I did understand, and from something else that you had said in another tape, you described the system, and I kept getting visuals of it being kind of like a web, a very kind of sort of a see-through web. Is that right? And that
I think that's a good description of it. And I refer to it as a body software system of communication, so that changes to the endocannabinoid system and we can instruct the body in those endocannabinoid systems, and there's a natural way that they interact, and that by changing the endocannabinoid system, we change the output that comes from those other body systems, and those, if we have an external effect on that body system, let's say we're eating strange foods, then that has an internal effect on the endocannabinoid system. So it's a two-way street, and it's integrated with all of it. So I look at it as a software system that goes both ways, and it communicates to us in sensory as well as perceptions, as well as output in terms of energy and exercise and activities.
So are you saying also, I appreciate that actually, are you saying also that like if something's happening with my central, let me see, that's probably too universal. But anyway, just my central nervous system, my neurology or so on, and I'm getting flipped out or I'm having seizures or something, when we use the cannabinoid support, specific ones I know that you have, it goes right through the whole system and all the ways the various organs have been touched by the problem, by the imbalance, would you say that?
Well, one of the ways that if we have inflammation, for example, we get an inflammatory condition. Now, right. The inflammatory condition should be temporary, that we should go into inflammation and then we should go into resolution. But so often that we're seeing nowadays is people are going into inflammation and they go into chronic inflammation. They can't get out of it.
I know. That's incredible. Mm-hmm.
And that why do you think that is? Deals with an endocannabinoid deficiency of some sort or an endocannabinoid a dysfunction that occurs. So there's an imbalance of the endocannabinoid receptors and the endocannabinoid agonists or active chemicals that ligands that modulate those receptors.
And most of us aren't aware that we're even having that much activity going on throughout our system, are we?
Well, certainly not, but except when we get into chronic pain situations or mental disturbances. You know, anxiety and depression are a type of brain inflammation that goes on, and it's a chronic brain inflammation that happens, and we can correct that. Even PTSD is a result of an endocannabinoid dysfunction.
Well, and I didn't want to do it this fast, but I want you to talk about one of your products called Exinol. Is it called Exinol?
Elixinol,
yeah. Because when you talk about PTSD, I think that's very widespread, even though it isn't always categorized as PTSD. It's not always about being at war. It's, you know, about childhood abuse or various things like that. But it affects every part of our body, does it not?
It does. It affects our endocrine system, our nervous system, our immunologic system. It affects all those portions. But let me get back to Elixinol. Now, Elixinol was a company that I was with about 2 or 3 years ago, but I'm no longer with them. Okay. I still endorse their products. I think they're very, very good. But I've graduated to my own product line that can be very effective for different types of problems in terms of modulating the endocannabinoid system, adjusting it so that it gets balanced and we get back into the homeostatic state that we need to be healthy.
Okay.
So we're talking about PTSD. So PTSD, most of the time, PTSD comes from a childhood event. There's a dysfunction of the endocannabinoid system and the neurologic system that sets it out of balance in childhood. And these childhood experiences sort of linger along until there is an adult trauma. And that leaves us with a post-traumatic episode that we are left with anxiety, we're left with depression, we're left with a visual complaint, we're left with sleep disorders, we're left with chronic anxiety that can be really disabling. And it all stems from a childhood experiences, and at least the majority of them occur from a childhood experience. And it doesn't have to be a major life-threatening event in order to harbor or generate PTSD. It can be relatively seemingly a minor event, but it's major significance on the brain and the brain function.
I think that's really interesting. So then it throws us off in so many different ways, like it makes you more, for example, somebody has something happening later and they've had some, even a small childhood event, it can kind of resonate, move into the whole vibrational patterns of this incredible shocking time, right?
That's right. So minor, you know, these upsetting childhood experiences, they generate an epigenetic change, a change in our gene, the exposure of our genes and what our genes reveal about ourselves and these sort of chronic changes that lead to a disruption in our neurogenic and our neurologic functioning on the brain. And so it mostly goes to the amygdala or the hypothalamus portion of the brain, and it changes the way we react.
So it changes your whole life, really, doesn't it? But what you're talking about, you can interfere with when you want to modulate, you can interfere with that incredible messaging that goes out there and destroys people's appeal. Probably changes their entire life. That's why I already said that, but that's true, isn't it?
That's very true. It can be totally disruptive unless you can get it under control. Mm-hmm. And right now, the military has not got a programs that really get this under control real well. They're using a lot of medications that have negative and derogatory effects for the most part, and they don't lead to a resolution, whereas cannabinoids and can actually modulate that system and correct for some of the brain changes that occur with PTSD.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were talking two things. I want to say several things because you're saying things that are so full of possibility here. The elixinol is not a product you use anymore, but how you used it included CBD and a lot of the things that you're talking about. Is that right? Like for the PTSD?
That's right. It was a CBD product that I was using from elixinol. And that's, I was a part of the staff and I was a medical advisor for elixinol for about 7-8 years. So
wow.
I learned about CBD and I learned about the endocannabinoid system through that relationship that I had with the company. And learning about CBD.
After being in the services for a long, long time before that, you must have been relieved to find this kind of sort of, it's like a soothing balm relative to a lot of the stuff that's out there for mental health or shocking things, right?
Absolutely. You know, I spent 27 years in military uniform. And I finished that and I retired in 1997. And I went on to careers in occupational medicine, into disease management. And for a time I was doing marketing for a program of dietitians working on dietary therapy for self-insured businesses. But then I evolved into, I discovered the endocannabinoid system and the CBD, and I went whole hog into this particular program and have devoted myself to the endocannabinoid modulation through the different cannabinoids that we have, like CBD, like THC, and like beta-caryophyllene.
I want you to speak about each of those, but how about the reason? Okay, wait. I've got several things. We started talking about inflammation, and when you were speaking about the PTSD and stuff, I go, isn't that where a lot of inflammation starts, where the nerves are kind of held back or the shock holds them back? And then where would I get? Oh, yeah. Another thing I asked you about on the phone was about regeneration, and can this work with CBD? Can help regenerate the flow of the nerves. Do you see what I'm saying? It's got a built-in healing force, isn't it?
That's right.
Stopping the pain, but
by activating the endocannabinoid system and certain receptor signals that are in that system, and then we can activate neurogenesis and making new nerves, and we can make neuritogenesis, which is making the different extensions to the nerve and making other connections. And in addition, it actually activates stem cell nerve tissues. And so this generous application of these different mechanisms can lead to an improvement of vision and prevent the damages from toxins, from infection, from trauma, and from brain injury and from mental illness. They all can be rectified with the cannabinoids like CBD and beta-caryophyllene.
Do you think that our mental illness scourge these days too much of it going on? Do you think that comes from just the stress over time of our lifestyle and the way we've done things and how we aren't modulating anything that's out of balance? We're just hitting it with a hammer sort of thing. Is that related?
Well, I do agree that lifestyle is the key factor in why we are developing a number of these chronic inflammatory illnesses. And, you know, the final common pathway is inflammation for almost all of these diseases, whether it's mental illness or Alzheimer's or diabetes. It's the final common pathway is inflammation. And if we can interfere with this, if we can block the inflammatory signals, like using the endocannabinoid system, we can block the manifestations of all of these diseases. Now, the lifestyle factors are of key importance. There are dietary lifestyle factors. There's certainly nutrition factors. There's stress. There's environment. There's the air that we breathe, the water that we take in. And there's the light exposure that we have. We're also not getting the amount of exercise that we need to have. And we're not getting the socialization that it really needs to be there to improve our well-being. And we're not getting the meditation, and we're not getting the sleep cycles. So I see that as a key and important to establishing.
Yeah.
No, it's our whole lifestyle is in disrupted right now.
Mm-hmm. Mostly because everything's trying to go faster.
That's true. Yeah. Well, it's faster, but it's also the ingredients are missing. Subtleties are distorted. You know, you're getting refined foods in our diet that lack many of the minerals and the nutritional substance that was previously in it 100 years ago. We, as a result of fertilizers that have depleted the soil, and some of the toxins in those pesticides and insecticides and the weeding agents, they've destroyed the benefits and the ingredients of the foods, so that we're now lacking those things in a normal diet.
And so we can't think straight. It gets that simple in a way, doesn't it?
Well, it can be. We do develop a lot of brain fog, and there's a lot of distortion in our thinking. We look at the anxiety levels that have occurred since COVID. Is that partly COVID? Is that partly diet? You know, we're facing an epidemic, a dietary epidemic, an obesity epidemic, where we've got 75% of people are overweight. Mm-hmm. So that represents a nutritional deficiency. It's, you know, the idea that the people are overweight because they're eating too much. Now that is way off the mark. We're eating the wrong foods, and the foods have lost their nutritional value. And we just don't have the selection of foods that we need to be having. And that's where the problem lies in.
Mm-hmm. No, that really makes sense, doesn't it? I often think that when people are really overweight, they're kind of starving all the time.
You know, that's partly true, that they are starving. They're starving for the nutrients that they need, and they're not getting the right balance of them.
And then it gets fashionable for everyone to be kind of heavy, so then we have to go along with that.
Well, in addition, there is actually an endocannabinoid deficiency in obesity. And it's a result from, there is actually a chronic inflammation that's going on. And that inflammation is most often from the high levels of glucose that create an inflammatory situation in the body. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have such a large proportion of patients with diabetes and prediabetes and liver fibrosis from steatohepatitis, which is a fatty liver disease. Mm. We've got a huge number of people with that, and it's due to the high carbohydrates and the toxins and the lack of proper nutrients that people are getting.
And in terms of things like, I guess endocannabinoids don't deal with things like cancer, do they?
Oh, yes.
Oh, they do. Okay.
Oh, yeah. They have a very dramatic effect on cancer. They can prevent cancer. They can treat cancer. They can actually destroy cancer in its place by acting as a kind of a reversal for the normal cell. Whereas in a normal cell, you have these protections that the cannabinoid system entertains. Whereas in cancer cells, if the endocannabinoid system is activated, it destroys cancer. So you got a normal cell on one side that's preserved and protected, but you've got a cancer cell who's got disorder metabolism gets destroyed by the endocannabinoid system.
Oh, wow. So we have a wonderful battle going on inside, eh? So you call it
that's right.
And endocannabinoid system, you call it modulating. I go, that's really modulating. That's regenerating, isn't it?
Well, it's not regenerating. It's protecting and destroying. It's an adaptogen. You know, it's adapting to the situation and the type of cell that we're dealing with. If it's a normal cell, it's going to benefit that cell. Mm-hmm. If it's a damaged cell, if it's a destructive cell, if it's a disordered cell, then it's going to help that cell either reform or die.
Oh, wow. Isn't that, that's great, actually, isn't it?
Now, yeah, it's terrific.
I wanted you to, I want to ask you so many different things, but there's a thing called terpenes. Okay, when people want to understand the CBD world or the endocannabinoid systems and so on, there are things that help us to understand by using words like terpenes, which are in some healthy or some herbs and some various products. Is that worth talking about right now?
Oh, yes. It's very, very important. In fact, my let me frame this properly. So we learned about the endocannabinoid system in the 1990s. We had no idea that it was there. It was discovered as a result of THC and the connector and the receptors that were connecting to that. And then we discovered additional receptors, and we discovered the additional endocannabinoids, those substances, those ligands that connect up with those receptors that are inside our body already, and they don't come from the outside of the body. Well, we found out that there are more than just those endocannabinoids, just those cannabinoid substances that we talked about, THC and CBD, that work on this system. And we learned that they, as part of the entourage or the other chemicals that are in cannabis, actually can be of great help. And in
I mean, they work as a community? Sorry, go ahead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's a very good way of looking at it, that they work as a combination for the best results. Hmm. And when they've tried to isolate these different chemicals like THC and CBD, they haven't worked nearly as well as when it's full spectrum. Hmm. So one of the chemicals that there's about 100 different terpenes, and terpenes are small oil molecules that have a particular odor and scent to them, but they have signaling properties that activate different signals and receptors in the body. Now, there's only one that has actually been connected to the endocannabinoid system directly, and that is beta-caryophyllene. Okay. And beta-caryophyllene is the highest concentration of all the terpenes that are in cannabis, but it's also found in 1,000 other plants.
Okay.
And because it's found in all these other plants, like basil, oregano, cinnamon, grapefruit, mango, it has, and rosemary, it has these terrific properties as an adaptogen that make it a unique substance in terms of pain control, anxiety relief, a protection of the body against dysfunction, and it actually protects the eye and the vision, and it actually blocks allergic reactions. So it has all of these benefits. It's contained in hemp, but it's also contained in 1,000 other plants as well.
So if a person were more conscious of that, and I think consciousness probably adds a really wonderful kind of frequency too, but if we were more conscious of that, we would put together certain herbs and spices and so on with our use of cannabinoids, or whatever I'm saying, would we be wise to begin to make those really alive as gifting our health?
Yes, we actually know of many herbs that contain cannabinoid substances that modify the endocannabinoid system. They include curcumin, okay, echinacea, silymarin or milk thistle, and there's a number of other the herbal substances, and many Chinese medicines contain these substances as well. And so we can modify the endocannabinoid system with these other substances to correct for the deficiencies that we find in our body.
But then we have to learn a little bit. You know, we need a little bit of a either glossary, a little dictionary or something, don't we?
We certainly do. It's enormously complicated. And that's one of the failings of the pharmaceutical industry, because they're looking for a magic bullet that will treat one thing and one target. And so often that can't work in the endocannabinoid system. It's much too complex.
Well, they're usually looking for a straight arrow into the marketplace. I think it's a little different, right?
Well, they're also looking at a straight arrow into a receptor or an enzyme that controls a disease. But it's often these diseases have gotten so complex that it's no longer a simple antibiotic to take care of an organism. It encompasses many different receptor systems and many different systems within the body. So you can't rely on any one agent to correct for a problem. And that's why the cannabinoids and cannabinoid substances are very effective, because they are adaptogenic. They tend to work in a homeostatic way. They work in as a benevolent way to correct for the problem.
It reminds me of you know, how we're learning about the soils, not that we haven't nurtured the soil well enough and we're not recycling enough and all that stuff. And we need to have that unity and the oneness around the world in order to keep the world growing into a strong thing. And the way you're talking about the endocannabinoid system, I'm going, it's like, to me, it's a force for oneness, or to unify the needs of life on the planet. Am I wrong about that? That's the feeling and the intuition I get as you're talking about it.
I think that's an accurate way to put it. And it's like the soil, that you need animals to defecate on the soil to bring in nutrients. You need water and you need grass growing in order to enrich the soil and other plants. But you definitely need the animals to deposit their waste on the and restore the nutrients that are in the soil. So it's a circular system, and it's balanced in nature, but we've gotten out of that balance by isolating things.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? But so what you're saying in a different way, I mean, well, you haven't told us how to grow this stuff, except that I know hemp is really an easy grow. But you're basically saying, okay, everybody, we can actually get everything we need to rebalance humanity, to rebalance life, aren't you, in a certain way?
Well, I think that's very true. I think we can restore the health to millions of people, billions of people, with the cannabinoids in one form or another. We've certainly got enough herbs and nutrients that we've got available. And we've got enough cannabinoids. Hemp can be grown in almost every state in the country, except in the far north, and it is in the desert, but it can be hugely restorative to the body. Hemp offers balanced proteins, balanced lipids or polyunsaturated fats and saturated fats, and the different nutrients that are in minerals that are in high concentrations in hemp. And so it's a wonderful food product, but it's also a wonderful agent for paper, for cloth, and it has been found to be beneficial in construction.
I mean, you can make paper from it? You can make paper from it?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. In 1930s, there was an effort to move to paper. In fact, some of the, I believe the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, one of the early models, was actually created on hemp paper.
Oh, that's a wonderful story. So is hemp related to cannabis, like DT?
Yes.
Okay. Can I be really bossy? What is the relationship?
Hemp is the cannabis plant. It's just that over time we've separated out the medicinal side and the sort of performance side of it, and as a substance that we can use for different materials. And so they've created cultivars or different specializations of hemp to go into marijuana or to go into the production of fibers for construction or for cloth or for paper.
So they've just used it in a lot of different ways.
It's all the same plant. It's all cannabis.
Wow.
It's all cannabis. And
so much to learn here. So what is, I'm going to ask you a couple of basic information questions, like phytocannabinoids. Is that just the...
Phytocannabinoids. Phytocannabinoids are the cannabinoid ligands or the substances that connect up with the cannabinoid system in the body, the endocannabinoid system, that come from plants.
And
these, so this is just, I just identified as a phyto, it's a plant source cannabinoid versus endocannabinoids, which are made in the body, or they can be supplied. Now, there are some endocannabinoids that are actually available on the marketplace that are can be derived from plants and animals. One in particular is palmitoyl ethanolamide. And I know that's a big name, but it actually is abbreviated PEA. And it's actually found in certain in eggs and other products with a great sourcing. And it has particular pain benefits and anti-allergy benefits.
And we usually don't have it separated from, for example, the eggs, do we?
That's right. It's not usually separated.
Okay. That's interesting. So you're saying we also have a lot more frontiers to go through, huh?
That's right.
Well, and what about beta-caryophyllene? Is that right?
Beta-caryophyllene.
Okay.
Beta-caryophyllene is a magnificent terpene that acts as a phytocannabinoid. It actually connects to many of the receptors, the endocannabinoid receptors, like the CB2 receptor. Now, typically, there's a CB1 receptor and a CB2 receptor. Those are the general categories. But the CB2 receptor is the one that controls all of inflammation, and it regulates the inflammatory signals, and it regulates a lot of pain signals on the body.
Oh.
So by activating this receptor, we turn off inflammation. And beta-caryophyllene has a specific target for the cannabinoid type 2 receptor.
Oh, wow. Okay. So, and because right now, I think inflammation is at an all-time high. People say more
That's
people
right.
are inflamed right now. And then, go ahead.
The CB1 receptor is actually can be the site of a lot of inflammation, but it also is associated with the high that people get. And there are certain anti-inflammatory benefits from activating the CB1 receptor. But so often in obesity, we have an overactive CB1 receptor that leads to inflammation and leads to obesity and chronic disease.
Oh, we're not aiming for that right now, are we?
No.
Wow. Tell me, this is a little bit of a jump shift, but what about like with addictions? So we've got obesity you're talking about here, and there's some information there for us. But what about addictions, like the wild and woolly addictions that are going on right now?
You know, this is a particular target for the cannabinoids. They have huge benefit. They can mitigate against the cravings for those drugs, as well as stop the need for them. They can mitigate, they can control the pain, let's say. If we're talking an opioid, if people are needing pain medications, they can use a cannabinoid for the pain, and it also controls the addictive cravings for it. So you can block both, and then that means you can get off of those substances.
And some of the stories I heard you talking about on some of the YouTubes is that it was a way shorter period of time. I think the one of the ones I'm referring to is you saying when people go for antidepressants or something, it takes a while for them to kick in, takes a long time to get off them. But using some of these things, you can get out of anxiety like within days. You can get over the depression within days. Is that right?
That's true. Now, let's finish with addiction. So what I found that is cannabinoids will work very effectively on all types of addiction. One in particular that I found extremely effective is beta-caryophylline. It blocks all of the cravings and the symptoms of addiction completely. And it blocks them for benzodiazepines, for opioids, for nicotine, for
alcohol,
for food. Yeah, alcohol too. Mm. It blocks them all, and it's can be a fabulous accelerator for addicts to get off of their medication. And that includes antidepressants, because sometimes some antidepressants can be addictive as well. Now that transitions into what can you use for the antidepressant activity, and that's when the cannabinoids once again link up. Cannabinoids can relieve depression very, very rapidly within a matter of days, where it takes weeks and even months to have an effect of a medication, an antidepressant, depression. So, and then they're left with side effects like obesity and different food cravings that go on with the antidepressant, whereas you're not left with any kind of thing like that with the cannabinoids. And particularly beta-caryophylline has been restorative in so many people. I'm so surprised that people can get off of that addictive wagon cycle for substances by using this naturally available terpene that has been found in food and other products.
But can you buy it in a, I mean, this is sounding so pharmaceutical. Can you buy it in a pill? Can you buy it in a potion of some sort?
There, it's actually available, and I produce it in a liposomal form. So A liposome is a bubble that it's an oil bubble that is actually water soluble. It's really small, and so it makes a mixing with water, but it's also lipid soluble. And because of that, it's really well absorbed into the body. We have what we call bioavailability. And because it has this extreme bioavailability in this structure, then a small amount is magnified going into the body, and it's well absorbed, goes right to the brain, and has immediate effects on the body.
Now, when you're saying right to the brain, I'm thinking on that and the PTSD and the various things we've been talking about have to do with the mind and trauma and all that kind of stuff. Does it actually feed or strengthen the cellular makeup? You know what I mean? Does it give strength to the nervous system? What does it do? Is that too ridiculous a question?
You know, it's a fabulous mechanism. You know, first of all, it stabilizes the membranes in the body. It also reduces the excessive neurotransmission of stimulants. So we get neurotransmitters that are like glutamate that are active or that are too active that create this anxiety, or maybe it's serotonin that is producing too little of a substance. And what the cannabinoids do is they actually correct for that immediately and adjust those levels to a normal level.
What a good job they've got. Keep talking.
In addition, they stop the inflammation. So there's oftentimes with disease and on different conditions, we have inflammatory substances that are inside the cell. This actually blocks the inflammation inside the cell as an antioxidant. Mm. Now, in addition, it actually holds up, it creates a permeable barrier to leakage in the different membranes. So there's a membrane around the brain that's called the blood-brain barrier, and that often is leaking in post-traumatic stress disorder, traumatic brain injury, Alzheimer's disease, different disease entities, neurodegenerative diseases particularly, and this stabilizes that membrane. So you're not getting the toxic substances from the rest of the body that are circulating in the brain. Hmm. And it actually activates the mitochondria. So it re-energizes the mitochondria. So they're working with oxidative phosphorylation. They're using more oxygen and they're producing more energy. So it has a number of different benefits that really go on within the brain.
Well, and have you done any tests, or have people done tests with people, for example, deteriorating seniors in homes or something like that, to see if
there have been a number of studies that have shown that it's particularly beneficial. Unfortunately, with beta caryophyllene, because it has not been studied in humans very much. There's only 10 clinical studies in humans at the present time, but there's all kinds of supportive information in terms of preclinical studies done on animals and cell cultures that have a major benefit to Alzheimer's disease, to neurodegenerative conditions, and vascular problems. Now, we've got a lot of evidence for CBD and THC, actually in combination with a full spectrum, as being very beneficial for the cognitive functioning of individuals. So we know that it's effective, but we haven't. The problem with cannabis is that it's such a blend of entourage and different substances that we haven't been able to pinpoint a particular formula that has been of major benefit that could be approved for general use in this country.
Well, what about vibrations? Do you think that they vibrate in such a way as to nurture? I'd say I'm playing around with light therapy these days, and the thing is the lights stimulate collagen development and stuff. And as you're speaking about the the system, I'm thinking, does it stimulate the vitality of the nervous system? Is that what it could possibly do?
Well, it definitely stimulates the vitality of the nervous system. It does that by correcting for excessive transmissions and mitigating its inflammation. And so those are the two factors that I see as really derogatory to the neurologic system. In terms of vibration, I haven't studied that specifically, but I do know that vibration in terms of whole body vibration makes a significant impact on the body and a favorable impact on the body.
Okay, and you've studied that too, haven't you?
I have, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we did a trial of a whole body vibration and PTSD, and we had a number of members correct for their PTSD by using a whole body vibration. A whole body vibration is where you sit on a platform that oscillates. One side goes down, the other side goes up. It's a little bit like walking, but the steps are very short, like 1 centimeter, and that causes the body to oscillate, and there's a reflex in the muscles that causes the muscle to contract. And those contractions are kind of like a mini contraction, but there are signals to the brain, and that brain signal actually stimulates the brain recovery from a number of different problems.
So it's a kind of a motion. It's the motion, is it?
Yes. Well, it's the muscles moving in a rhythmic fashion.
Well, anyway, I don't want to go us way off into vibration, although that's maybe you'll get back on and we'll talk about that at some point, right?
Well, we know light is very important. You know, in the wintertime, people go into depression because they're not getting a proper light stimulation. Exactly. And we know that different types of light have a corrective factor. And I know that there's studies that are going on with that, with a laser type of penetration and light wave penetration in the brain that can be highly beneficial for correcting for different types of problems.
Yeah, that's kind of exciting too, isn't it? You know, I want to ask you. This is another. You know, and I don't want our time to be up, but it's going to be up soon. I would like to ask you, like, as we're talking about the healing and the endocannabis system, and all of that, which I'm
endocannabinoids,
and I'm seeing these wonderful kind of, like I said, networks and almost etheric looking.
You know, one of the things that I want to point out is that beta caryophyllene, it doesn't have to come from hemp. And so if somebody has a restriction that they can't take hemp for some reason, or they've got a bias against using it, they can take an endocannabinoid stimulant that comes from cloves or hops, and they can get that stimulating effect to their endocannabinoid system that they don't have to use cannabis.
Ah, and I went, is that easy to find? Do you just look that up? Or
well,
which
it's not.
Which spices?
I got it on my website, which is blairmedicalgroup.shop.
Does Blair have an E at the end of it?
No.
Okay. blairmedicalgroup.shop.
.shop.
That's clever, isn't it? Okay, now here's...
I've got four different products that are available there.
Oh, what are they?
Well, there's the liposomals that I told you about that connect with... They're a liquid. They're a very tasty liquid that are rapidly absorbed by putting it in the mouth and then swallowing it. And then there are the tincture, which is the pure caryophyllene oil that can be applied in small amounts in 5 drops onto an area of inflammation and give immediate relief of pain. Then I have a gel, which is magnificent for correcting for neuropathy and pain, and it goes straight into the body and is highly, heals the skin as well. And then I have a crunch, which is a 1 centimeter like cookie that has doesn't have any calories significantly, but it has a significant amount of beta caryophyllene that can improve blood glucose as well as improve vision.
Okay, that was another thing. Okay, let me ask you this one question. This is kind of like a side, but not really at all. Is relevant. Biofilm. I'm just learning a bit about biofilm, and what I wanted to understand is how you perceive it. It is kind of a film, a vibrational film, or a cloud, or a spectral, or something that comes off of so many things and actually clutters up our healing system and so on. And I think I asked you about it because I was just learning, and you said, well, why don't you talk about biofilms?
So biofilm is typically as a protective mechanism done by different microscopic organisms like spirochetes in Lyme disease, and some parasites produce it, but particularly bacteria, pathogenic bacteria produce a film that does not allow the penetration of antibodies into it or antibody substances and doesn't allow the breakdown. Now, typically a biofilm occurs in the mouth. We know most about that because the biofilm is contains these bacteria, and it's a culture media for the bacteria and for outbreaks, and you can't get rid of them. Even antibiotics don't get rid of them because these barriers that are around it.
Because they're very smart at protecting themselves, I guess, hey?
That's right. Now, there's some of these cannabinoids and some substances break up the biofilm. And when they break it up, they release the organisms, and that can actually cause some inflammatory problems immediately. But if we are taking some agents to counteract that, or maybe some antibiotics, then we can prevent the toxicity of those released organisms, as well as improve the healing effect and eliminating the organism from the body.
And is there much being done with biofilms? I haven't heard about it until recently.
There's quite a bit of talk about things that penetrate into biofilms that break them up. And that's a particularly key factor for different substances. And I know that CBD and beta caryophyllene will penetrate and break up biofilms. And that's one of the particular modes and why beta caryophyllene and CBD have been helpful for Lyme disease as well.
For Lyme disease. Oh, that's good to know. I can think of somebody to get it right away.
It's also highly effective for dental disease, periodontal disease, and gingivitis. You can use the beta caryophyllene tincture in the mouth, and you can break up those biofilms, and you can allow for an anti-inflammatory action on the gingiva to heal the gingiva and correct for any inflammation.
Wow. And you sell products like that, do you?
Yes. I sell a tincture that can be, a few drops in the mouth will give you, as a mouthwash, can be very healing and relieve pain, mm-hmm. relieve inflammation, break up biofilm, and correct for, hopefully, dental plaque.
Oh, I'm going to order me some, that's for sure. This is really exciting stuff because it's very evolutionary. Are a lot of people taking advantage of it, or is it still pretty new?
It's very new. Certainly the cannabis industry is old, and, mm-hmm. and that's generating some increased popularity. Most people with arthritis, osteoarthritis, have taken or are exposed, about 80% have been exposed to cannabidiol and the use of cannabidiol, and they're getting some relief from it. But so often a lot of people who are taking cannabidiol are not getting the relief that they had hoped for.
Well, what is cannabidiol?
It's CBD.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So a lot of people who are taking cannabis in the way of THC or CBD are not getting the relief from pain, anxiety, or depression that they would expect to. And that's when you can combine it with beta-caryophyllene to get an added effect and a really synergistic benefit to it. So you get greater relief of pain, mm-hmm. And actually a reduced dosage is required for THC if you're using beta-caryophyllene. Typically, somebody who is treating their pain with full-spectrum THC and CBD, and they're not getting complete relief, can get improved relief by using beta-caryophyllene in the liposomal form.
Oh, okay. And that's, I want people to pay attention to your shop. Go
ahead.
And then
they can reduce the amount, of THC that they need. And that can control for drowsiness the next day. It can control for expense. And it can control even for other problems that you can have with THC, let's say appetite. And it can mitigate against all of those situations, the negative aspects, by reducing the dosage of THC. But what it's ideal for, beta-caryophyllene, is ideal for those people who can't take cannabis products, those people like the military, the police, people with a certified driver's license, pilots, flight attendants, medical
personnel, because they'd be tested and they get a dirty drop, right?
Yeah, and athletes and government employees. So many people are have to abstain from any cannabis products, and they have pain and they have problems that could be corrected from it, and they have to abstain from it because they can't get tested. They would come up positive on testing. Beta-caryophyllene is a perfect phytocannabinoid that can correct for many of these problems immediately without being detected.
Wow, this is really exciting news. And I want people to think about getting hold of the blairmedicalgroup.shop so you could get hold of some of these products. But also, Dr. Blair, I would really like you to come back on after we take a little time for people to resonate with or, make some decisions about all this, because this is quite earth-shaking in a way, is it not? It just seems to me to have such huge, huge impact.
Well, I think it has a huge impact on the health of the world. It has benefits all over the world, and it needs to be, cannabinoids need to be everywhere, and they need to be offered at reasonable prices and to be a part of our lifestyle as well as our health.
Well, they have to be, their respect has to be built up, I think, by a lot of people telling their tales, right? Also, what about the toxicity of the land? It's got to be helpful for that. Hemp is good for that, right?
That's exactly right. Hemp is being grown at Chernobyl, the site of the disaster, the nuclear disaster in Ukraine. And it's actually restoring the health of the forest there.
Isn't that wonderful? I mean, it just can go on and on, can't it? It makes my brain go into many different directions, wanting to ask a lot. I also want to tie this up by saying, I think that we are in such a difficult time for mental health, whether it be for the shoot-ups or the this or that. It's just really terrible. People are suffering, and we've explained or you've explained why. But I'm going, this could really help soothe and calm a whole lot of people, couldn't it?
It sure could. And one of the things that you can use a cannabinoid, you can use CBD, you can use a full spectrum, a little bit of THC, and there'll be different recommendations with regard to cannabis, but you can also use beta-caryophyllene. And beta-caryophyllene has been found to be safe in children, in pets, and actually there was a study that was done that showed that there was no derogatory effects on the fetus as well in pregnancy.
Oh, wow. Isn't that wonderful news? So people can get helped in many different ways of their life. I'm so pleased to have talked to you. I thank you for coming on and being, not just talking about it, but being a paradigm shifter. You're making a difference. And I wanted to ask you, what tipped you from going from retired military into such an intense, life-changing career for a lot of people as well as yourself?
Because I saw the healing, the magnificent healing effects for so many different conditions, and it offered hope to many people were suffering from across the board. As an adaptogenic substance, the cannabinoids can modulate and can contain so many diseases and improve our health and our death. If that's the case that we're going to be dying, then it can improve our exit as well as improving our lifestyle and the protection against death.
Well, that whole thing about improving your exit, that's a whole other conversation we have to have. and I really look forward to that. But our time is up. But Dr. Philip Blair, will you please come back on soon?
Well, I'd be happy to. And I'll answer any questions that are generated.
Good. So if you at home have questions, you can send them to, send them to me, Veronica, at Veronica Entwistle, or Paradigm Shifter. Yeah, better just use Veronica at VeronicaEntwistle.com or the Blair Medical Group.shop. That's probably the better place, is it?
Well, we're not taking any questions at the Blair Medical Group for issues of
personal
claims, and we don't want to get involved in any kind of claims, and so we're not allowing any questions to be answered there.
Okay, I think one day soon maybe we'll open a little forum here and people can call in. I didn't set up for that today, but wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, that'd be super.
Well, let's talk about that. Well, I don't think that's that hard for us to do. And once again, I thank you from the bottom of my heart because I'm very excited about your products and what you've shared with us today, and we'll be in touch soon. Thank you so much.
That's fabulous.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Blair.
It was a real pleasure to be on to tell you all of the things that I know.
Oh, you've done a great job. You've got me all wound up positively, you know. So take care of yourself, and thank you for taking care of so many others as well.
It's my privilege.
Nice.